As a young man, then living in Los Angeles, violinist Glenn Dichterow studied in a master class given by Yasha Heifetz.
The important part is not da 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 da.
He admits Heifetz lived up to his reputation as an icy character. But as they say, man, could he play.
When he would demonstrate, that would be his biggest inspiration to you. He would just, you know, be in awe of the sound coming out of that violin.
Dichterow himself turned into quite a player. He had all the training and talent necessary to become a violin soloist. But he became, instead, a concertmaster, first chair in one of the great violin sections of the world. It is 25 years he's been concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic, the longest anyone has stayed in the job. And for some years before that, he was concertmaster of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. This is a role he knows how to play. He tunes up the orchestra on stage, of course, before each performance, making it ready for the conductor's entrance. He leads the violin section, and concertmasters have to speak for their sections and see that the players' individual needs are met.
If we have people in the sections that can't see the conductor, we have to make sure that that gets fixed immediately.
Violinists with a problem such as this don't have a chat with Lenny or Zubin, Kurt or Lauren. They talk to Dichterow, and he talks to the conductor. And it works the other way, too. Sometimes he has to deliver criticism to the strings.
I try not to be personal, you know. If I need to turn around and say something, I try to address the whole section. Maybe that's why I've lasted 25 years, is that I don't single people out. But one has to be very diplomatic.
The concertmaster is also the only player in the orchestra with his very own private office.
What you are sitting in right now used to be a broom closet. It has been extended, and they've given me a little more space.
But all this is secondary. The real work of the concertmaster is playing. He plays all the violin solos. But unlike a true soloist, he's not in solo mode all night.
It's very, very challenging, I would say, to sit in this protective sound barrier here, part of a team. And all of a sudden, everybody drops out, and you become the soloist. For instance, in Heldenleben by Strauss, there's about 10 minutes of orchestral playing, heavy orchestral playing, where you're just involved in this massive sound. And all of a sudden, you're left alone on this C-sharp, on the E string. You're the soloist without having practiced beforehand, warmed up.
That piece, Ein Heldenleben, A Hero's Life, has a big solo in the middle.
It's almost cadenza-like, and then you go back into it, and as soon as you've played your solo, you've got to dovetail back into the rest of the section and stuff, and especially in the Heldenleben where you're in and out of the solo register continually.
It's a concertmaster's dream. And nightmare, that piece. And talk about nightmares.
Till Eulenspiegel, that has a frightening solo in it. I actually hate that solo, but Mazur, who was with us for 11 years, insisted every single year to do it four or five times. He loved that piece, and it's the most excruciatingly uncomfortable solo ever written. There's a run in it that you have to hit a very high note, E-flat, high E-flat, and then there's a descent that you're not sure that the orchestra is going to be able to catch you on the very bottom.
Coming up for Dichterow is a performance of a piece by Rimsky-Korsakov that he knows very well.
When I begin the Scheherazade, of course, when I do that in a month, there's a harp, and then the violin starts right away. It's got to be as a soloist would play it. You know, basically people are comparing you to big-time soloists, and that's what the pressure is, of course.
And please note, the Scheherazade solos played by Dichterow are played not from the center of the stage, under a spotlight, but from his usual seat in the first chair of the violin section, as are all the solos he plays. Like the one in the Bach St. Matthew Passion, which he recorded with the orchestra in 1999. The job of concertmaster, by the way, predates that of conductor in music history. Orchestras were led either by the composers who had written whatever music they were playing, or they were led by the primary violinist.
The concertmaster, the first violinist, would basically lead with the scroll of his violin.
Until later in the 19th century, when orchestras and concert halls and music, for that matter, got bigger and a different sort of leadership was called for. For a while, Dictereau reminds us, conductors had, in his view, a little too much power.
There was a time when a conductor could show up at a rehearsal with an orchestra and point his finger at somebody and say, "I don't like you, leave."
Orchestras are now a lot more powerful as groups and much more protected as individuals. Meanwhile, Glenn Dictereau, celebrating 25 years at the New York Phil, is in his element still in that first chair. As for a full-time solo career, he did try it for a while.
Even though I was groomed to be a soloist, I was never that happy to be on tour as a soloist, because basically you're just waiting for the concert to happen, and then the minute it's all over and you get your applause, you're packing your suitcase just to go to another town.
He's been a lot happier with a more stable existence, smoothly shifting in and out of solo gear, playing performances of Strauss, for example.
The end of Heldenleben for me is a fantastic duet between the first horn and concertmaster, one of the most gorgeous spots of all music.
Which just goes to show that sometimes the center of attention can be sitting down, unobtrusively, off to the side, playing his heart out. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.